on this episode of Pottages.
But Nokia is just like, like, I don't care.
I need your password. You can use mine to get on the internet.
Pottages.
Welcome to Pottages, episode 011, A Kernel of Sleuth.
Digimon Story, Cyber Sleuth, First Impressions.
Recorded February 13th, 2016.
Pottages is your critically nostalgic analytical tour through the Digimon anime, usually. I'm Jeff Ruberg, and I'm joined by Ashley McDonald.
I'm a Cyber Sleuth. You should have put that before my name.
And Andrew Soffman.
Another Digimon invited me to try out this Digiline thing. Do people enjoy this?
No, nobody enjoys the Digiline.
Is that an actual line? Because no. And Andrew Soffman is abstaining. Wait, did I say that right?
Yes, you said Andrew Soffman.
Okay. And Asher Soffman is abstaining because he has not played the game yet. Or ever. He has not played the game.
I'd be worried if it was me because I'm kind of playing the game right now.
Maybe there is a copy of you that's a half digital, half physical body that's playing it. And your real body is stuck in a medical ward somewhere, not playing it. That's probably what's happening.
I am scared now. Is there a cure?
I don't know. I haven't played that much to find out.
Probably not.
So yeah, so we're only talking about our first impressions, our initial impression of the game, because although I think, wait, actually, let's, so I've played for 20 hours now, and Ashley, how many hours have you played?
8.
And Andrew?
I don't know, but I think it's about 20 as well.
I feel kind of weird being like, first impressions after 20 hours, like that's a long number of hours to play before, and still only have first impressions. But I feel like both in what I've played and what I've heard people who have finished the game say, the story is such an integral piece of it that I feel like it's pretty crucial to get to the end of the story.
How many hours have these people who finished it played? Like 60?
No, 100? only 250, I think. No, I think it's like 40 hours.
I played 20 and a half hours.
That's about where I am. Yeah, I mean, it is one of my first impressions is it is much longer than I expected it to be. I guess I didn't really know how many hours I expected to go into it, but yeah.
I don't know. The DS games were pretty long.
Yeah, the only DS... So another thing to set my expectations and my reaction to Digimon game, the only other Digimon game I played is Digimon World DS, which was actually the first birthday present that Ashley gave me.
Aww.
Although she insists that it wasn't that, she gave me the DS itself. And I'm like, no, Ashley, the game was from you. The DS was from other people.
It was a collaborative effort between our poor friends to buy you these things.
You coordinated the purchase of the DS.
Yes.
But yeah, I mean, I don't know. I feel like saying it's a long game usually has a much more positive impression. Like this being a long game, I feel like is not entirely in its favor. It doesn't feel like a game that's like, oh, it's so expansive and I'm so excited to explore everything. It's like, I want to get to the story, but the story is taking quite a long time. That is my impression.
I don't know. It's like, yeah, the first 3 hours, I'm like, there are, like, no Digimon in this.
Oh, yeah, the first like, play session or two that you did, like, you were just like, there are no Digimon, I don't understand this. Why don't I have Digimon?
Yeah, like, I don't understand what's happening.
Yeah, there's quite a lot of front-loaded story in that regard, and yeah, eventually it opens up, and then it's mostly Digimon with occasional story beats. So the first category I want to talk about was gameplay. And yeah, I basically went in not really knowing what to expect from the gameplay at all, especially having only played one Digimon game. I can't remember the mechanics of Digimon World DS too much.
Well, Digimon World DS was the original Digimon story game.
Right, which I felt conflicted looking back. Like, looking back, I was like, oh yeah, that was a Digimon World game. There wasn't much story to it. And then I noticed that, like, actually in Japan, it was Digimon story. I'm like, oh, I guess there was a story, and it was just kind of, I don't remember it at all because it wasn't that great.
All the DS game storylines aren't too memorable, but yeah, they weren't that memorable.
Yeah. It was like fine while I was playing, but yeah, I remember reading a review at the time of that game, and it came out before the first Pokemon DS games. And the review is basically like, it'll tide you over until those come out. And yeah, that's my last impression of that game.
Yeah, I think I remember that review.
I think in that regard, Digimon Cyber Sleuth definitely sets itself out, is different enough. It is not a tie yourself over to next Pokemon thing. Whether that's, you know, I not quite saying it is as good or better than Pokemon games, because they're extremely well-polished, but it is definitely different enough to attract a completely different audience, I think. But yeah, the gameplay. I like it. Yes, with the gameplay that I really like, because there are two main aspects, and it's that you your Digimon in the Digiform continue to Digivolve, and as they continue to level, while you don't need to have them in your party to level them, and combined with the fact that Digivolution in this game is, I mean, like most Digimon games, is not set, it's not the canonical, the anime canon Digivolution lines, there are lots of different options, and it gives you a lot of choice, and you basically have complete control over how they Digivolve, and you choose, you go through the tree, and Digimon are kind of not that unique in that regard, because, I mean, I don't know if they all share the same Digivolution tree, or if they're a couple of different separated trees.
They branch.
Right, they all branch, but, like, is there one root? I don't think there's one common origin.
No.
Right, there are, like, three or four different fresh or baby one Digimon. So they don't all, it's not all one tree. It's a couple of different trees. So if you get an Agumon, you can't make the Agumon turn to anything else. You can turn it into, like, a large number of them. Large number of Digimon by going back and forth between Digivolutions. And that aspect of it really cool, combined with the fact that you can level them while they're in the farm. So you can basically just have, like, you know, 10 Digimon exploring the evolution lines, which is an interesting aspect of exploration that I've not seen in games before. And the other thing I like about it is the type system is, like I was aware of in the games, the vaccine, data, virus, triumvirate, rock, paper, scissors dynamic. But I was expecting that. What I didn't expect is that you have a reserve. So you have three main Digimon in your party that fight in battles. And then you have a reserve of, I can't remember, 8 reserve Digimon?
It's like...
I think it's 11 total.
It's 11.
Yeah, so there are 8 reserve Digimon. Most of the time, that's limited by how much you have to, like... You have a limited number of memory that you can use.
Memory.
Based on, like, the strength of your Digimon and stuff. But anyway, the generation of Digimon. But yeah, so you have a bunch of other... You can have several different Digimon to swap in. So, you know, if you're up against a data Digimon, you can swap in 3 virus Digimon. And then, or if you're up against like a data and a virus, you can put in the 3 vaccines to take on the virus. And then once you take on the virus, swap in, I forget what I said, but swap in a different 3 to fight the other. So like, I like the aspect of swapping in that adds. I find that really cool. Those are my impressions of the gameplay. Ashley, what do you think of the gameplay?
It's good. I think if there's like some level of, I don't know, like having to de-digivolve Digimon is kind of stressful for me. There's a lot of things going on with the digivolving and de-digivolving.
Well, that was also in the DS games.
I do not play handheld games.
Oh.
But
I think what you're saying about like the stressful is just that there are a lot of mechanics in this game and a lot of tutorial screens.
And none of them are helpful.
Right. The tutorial screens do not explain those mechanics very well, even though there are a lot of them.
Yeah. What I find more interesting is that there are 2 levels to the types. Like, it also does it by element.
I don't think the elements are that great in this game. Like, for instance, bug and plant Digimon are both bug. It's really, like, there's weird typings like that.
Sure, but there's still, like, there's more strategy than just, like, virus beats data or whatever.
But I actually find that typing stressful, or not stressful, frustrating, because like that's not prominently displayed anywhere.
It's frustrating for you because you're colorblind and it's by color.
But yeah, it's by color, but also like, yeah, I guess if I just knew the vocabulary of those 6 colors or whatever, it would make sense. But I don't know, that's just, yeah, fine. Because yeah, each Digimon has a little icon that shows whether they're data, virus, vaccine, and it's colored to indicate their elemental type.
Yes.
And I'm mostly just like, oh, this is, I don't know what's going on here. So, Andrew, what are your impressions of the gameplay?
Like, having played the 3 DS games that came over to the US, so Digimon World DS, and then Dusk and Dawn.
So were Dusk and Dawn also store games, or were those actually world games in Japan?
Yes, they were basically all the Digimon games for the DS, except for World Championship, were all the story games.
Okay.
We didn't get Lost Evolution, and then the 2 Super Crossword games.
Mm-hmm.
But all of them were the storyline. Like, there's a lot that's improved over from the other story games, but I feel like some of the things are a step back. For instance, there's less Digimon, so there's not as much variety, especially early on.
Mm-hmm.
And then they could have taken the chance to like upgrade like the levels and stuff. Like all these areas, like so far I've been playing for 20 hours and most of the stuff is either blue and black or white. So it's kind of boring and monotone.
Yeah, I think in addition to the monotoneness, it's like the same, it's not just the colors, it's like the same like Kowloon area is like where you are for like a significant portion of the time, and like you go like back to the same levels of that, and then there's also like these extra little dungeons, and they're always the same aesthetics, just like laid out a little differently, and so it just feels like you're always in the same place. They're not really, I don't know.
And then the Digifarm, like I feel like is also a step back because it's so complicated to like upgrade your farms nowadays in Cyber Sleuth.
Nowadays.
Mm-hmm. Nowadays.
Back in my day. Right, Digimon Farm was easy to upgrade.
No, like, but there were like punching bags and other stuff to like increase the stats of your Digimon, and I haven't run into something like that except for the items that you can buy from the store in the whatever that place is called. What's the place, Mirai?
Oh, in the Digilab?
The Digilab. So all those items just raise the stats of one specific type of Digimon.
Hmm. Yeah, I find it, I don't know. I mean, there's a lot of, not confusion, there's a lot of, like, mechanics that I feel like we're not properly explaining also.
Like, there's a lot of mechanics that work really well. It's just some of them worked better in past games and made more sense.
Hmm.
And were easier to use.
I don't know if I like that, but what I find acceptable about all those mechanics not being explained is that, like, they're not necessary, and I just ignore them, kind of. Like, I use the Digifarm as a place that, like, my Digimon magically reach max level, and then I can Digivolve them. Yeah, so, and just, like, it's just a place I put, maybe as like, I approach later in the game, I'll try to, invest more into training them properly and stuff, but, and I'm sure you really need to if you're going to play competitively, but I like how you can kind of, like, it has all these complicated mechanics, but you can also just ignore that part.
But yeah, but the one thing I miss the most from the DS games are the little skits that happen in your Digifarm while you're on quests.
Hmm. Oh, was it that, like, the second screen was always a Digimon farm?
Yes.
Oh, okay. So, like, while you're doing everything else in the game, you always have the Digimon farm visible.
Yeah, you can always keep track of what's going on in the Digifarm.
Hmm.
But what's disappointing in Cyber Sleuth is that entire feature is basically the Digiline.
Digiline, or the Digiline.
Like, all those little skits turned into just text for the Digiline, and it's kind of annoying. Like, I've gotten multiple questions like, who's the mind controlled Digimon with red eyes? I'm like, this question again? Okay.
Yeah, the questions I find, at least, like, there are so many things that you can reply to where it's just, you just hit X a couple times and, like, there's no choice. It's just, like, you just hit reply to reply with a canned response. And at least the questions have some thinking involved. But yeah, they repeat. They're not very interesting questions. There are bugs, and sometimes the question is just wrong. Like, the answer that is the correct answer is just wrong. I'm not clear if there's, like, a reward mechanic for getting the right or not. Like,
there isn't. It's just something to waste time.
I was hoping, like, their camaraderie with that Digimon would raise or something, but so that's even more. I mean, I don't know. I appreciate the theming of it being this, like, line-esque chat messaging thing. Like, it's a cool thing. It's just, in execution, is kind of frustrating, and not just with the Digimon too. Like, the Digimon can talk to you, but also your mother and your friends and your all the characters in the game can basically send you text messages and you can reply and stuff. But, like, I didn't have a special section for this, but I think there are a lot of problems with the localization, and I think those shine through the most in the Digiline, because what I've seen passed around as a theory, and I think it makes a lot of sense, is that these Digiline messages may not have been translated with proper context. You know, like, we have a script of, like, a scene, it's a lot easier to make things make a lot of sense in context. But, like, these messages, I think, are, like, may have been translated without that context. And so, like,
so basically real-life text messages?
No, I mean, there are a lot of times when took a screenshot of a couple of them.
It just don't make sense.
It's like it's like totally non-sequitur. Like, I'll say one, like, the person will say one thing, and my one response I'm going to reply with makes no sense in that context, and no reply with something makes even less sense. I'm like, what is going on? Like, I think the mom was said something like, I hope, like, what are you doing tomorrow? And then,
did you have breakfast?
Yeah. I can't remember exactly. It was like total non-sequiturs. It was ridiculous. And it's frustrating because I think the Digiline is really cool idea. When I first heard it, I was like, oh, that's really cool. And, like, you know, you actually have interactions with your mom, your character's mom. And, like, that's cool, except it's in practice not. And also the friends, the two high school friends that just come out of nowhere and just like, oh, yeah, we did not introduce these characters, but they exist apparently. Ugh. Anyway.
Yeah.
Digiline is definitely the worst part of this game.
I mean, I don't mind it.
It, like, is very constantly there, too. Like, it's like you have a new message every 5 minutes.
I mean, you at least you could just ignore the messages. You could just be like, okay, whatever. And there is one gameplay-specific useful case for Digiline, which is when your Digimon reaches the max level in the Digifarm, Murray texts you.
Basically, that's the only thing that saves the... Basically, the Digiline saves the Digifarm, and Digifarm saves the Digiline.
I feel like it's kind of like the... It's like the carrot to tempt you into using Digiline. It's like, you need to check them because it might be one of those messages. And most of them, it's not. And you're like, okay, whatever. Wide open this menu. But if you really didn't... If you really hate it, then you could just not... Like, a lot of the games have a thing where, you know, like, you get a new whatever, and there'll be, like, a badge on that menu item, and you can't get rid of that badge unless you go view the thing. And so it doesn't do that. Like, you get the little badge saying there's a new one to whatever, how many text new text messages. If you ignore it, it just goes away. Like, there's no... You have to open the menu, and you go to the menu, it doesn't show, like, Digiline, five new messages. You can just completely ignore it, which is also kind of a problem, because if you miss that message, you might not notice that there was one if you, like, were distracted or something. How do you all feel about graphics?
Well, do you mean graphics or the visual style?
Yeah, so yeah, I'm incorporating visual style too.
Because honestly, graphics don't matter.
I guess graphics, yeah. I am surprised by how good it looks on PS4.
I've been mostly playing on the Vita.
Yeah, I've been mostly playing on Vita too.
And it's not bad, but there's like frame rate issues in comparison.
Yeah, definitely frame rate issues on the Vita that don't exist on the PS4. Like, I was doing the same thing. Like, oh wait, this was so much smoother on the PS4.
I've only played on the PS4.
Yeah. I mean, it's prettier than I expected in terms of, like, graphics, in terms of polygons and stuff.
I will give the game this. It is definitely better looking than the DS games.
Well, yeah, it should be after, like, 10 years.
But it's just so monotone most of the time, so it's kind of boring.
I think it puts me to sleep. Like, I play it. I try to be like, I'm going to play it for like an hour at 10:30 at night, and I'm like, I can't. I need to go to sleep.
Yeah, I understand what you're talking about, like, the monotoneness and the, yeah, I mean, like, everything's bluish background or whitish background. And I find that, because, like, I do a lot of aspects of the visual style I really, really like. Like, I really like the character design, a lot of the aesthetic, a lot of the graphic design of the menus, and not the main menu, but the title screen and stuff. A lot of graphic design I really like in it. But then, it feels like it's employed in ways that makes it feel dull and the same colors all over the place. Anyway, the only other aspect of graphics I want to discuss was the translation of Digimon to 3D models and how we, like, I think it was done well or not.
It's very done well.
Yeah. I think Guillaume's animation's the cutest.
It's not the first 3D Digimon game, so it's not that exciting.
Yeah, it's not like I'm approaching it from the perspective of someone who has not played the other ones, and I think a bunch of listeners are too. It's not like it's original for this, but like, how is it done well in this version? And yeah, I think my actual initial impression was fairly low because I chose Terrymon as a starter. And by the way, starter means so little because they digivolve very soon and you can de-digivolve them back and you can whatever.
You can basically have a whole team of Terrymons.
Yeah. But yeah, so Terrymon, like, I think Terrymon is like probably the worst example. So, because he falls in this weird uncanny valley where like the graphics are really, they're good enough that they look very, they look anime-esque. Like they're
cel-shaded.
Yeah, they're cel-shaded. And they look really nice, but like, I think Terrymon's ears are fundamentally untranslatable to this kind of format because there's a lot of stuff that you can do with animation. I'm sure it's tough to do to animate the ears moving around a floppy lake, but with polygons and stuff, it's just like Terrymon's ears have like two joints, I think. So it just looks very mechanical and weird when his ears move around. And like, he is very expressive because of the movement of his ears and the floppiness of them. And like, and you can't really translate that. It's just like, okay, Terrymon, you look cute. Oh, wait, don't move. If we move, it's kind of the illusion is, you can see through the illusion. And contrasted to like, and I didn't actually get a Hagurumon, but I imagine that would be a much better translation of it because it's like, you know, all it has like, the gears as arms or whatever, and like those can do anything in a 3D model. Anyway, I think most of the Digimon, they handle it well, and it's just Terrymon is unfortunate because he can't really. I feel like it was kind of an unfortunate choice for a starter in that regard. Like maybe they should have chosen one that, you know, can be done really well in 3D, but I guess Terrymon's a fan favorite, so. And they went to reserve Agumon and Gabumon.
But if there's one thing I miss about this game, it's the sprites from the DS games. Like, there actually are sprites in this game.
Yeah, when they turn into the dot status thing.
Yeah. So I like how they actually nod to it. It's just the one problem with this is you can't have Digimon like dot Agumon or the other ones.
But yeah, so there's a mechanic that is I'm used to Final Fantasy and it's like the equivalent of Final Fantasy mini status and it's dot and they turn into a pixelated form. So yeah, you see the sprite and I think it's a really cool theming of that mechanic. I'm not sure. I'm assuming this is in the previous games too. But it's unfortunate. Like, I wish, it's upsetting because, like, they have all these sprites for all the Digimon to do that. It'd be nice if you could see them in anything. And now on to sound, general sound design, music, anything in that category. Ashley, what do you think?
It's okay. It gets a little repetitive. I like the battle music. It has a little bit of a, like, dancey vibe at points. Then it goes away and becomes uncool.
Andrew?
Sound design-wise, some of the music reminds me of Danganronpa for some reason.
Oh, no. I mean, it's the same composer.
Oh, it is?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, it's...
Well, that explains everything.
Yeah, it's... especially the title. The title music is, I think, the one that's the most, like... This is, like... I can't place exactly what is so similar about it. It's just like, this feels exactly like, and I'm not used to it. But at first I was like, wait, this is just a remix song of a song.
But yeah, like, sound wise, it's just more of the same, I guess.
Yeah.
And sometimes, like, some Digimon have voices, I think, but I'm not sure.
Do you mean the, like, when you do, like, the cross combo thing?
Just during battle.
I've noticed when you do a cross combo thing, I think like your avatar talks or something. Maybe it's a Digimon. I'm not sure.
No, like, I have Grappleomon on my team, and I am definitely sure Grappleomon's voice is not the protagonist's voice because it's kind of deep.
Interesting. My impression of the sound design and music is it's pretty good, but also kind of mediocre. But then there are a couple standout songs, like the title card music, and I can't remember really. I think it was like background music during one of the Akihabara sections, and it has like a vocal track. There are cool aspects of it, but like nothing really stands out while playing. Like, oh my god, this track is awesome. And I imagine once I finish playing the game, I'll like get the soundtrack. I was gonna say, I hope it's available to purchase legally, but I'm sure it won't be because that rarely even happens with very popular Japanese games. But
no, most games get OSTs and stuff.
Okay, I guess maybe not rarely, but like I would be really surprised if
they just don't get released here, except the Final Fantasy games.
I guess I was confusing with, like, there are things that are released in the Japanese iTunes store digitally. I can get easily, like, I can buy easily from the US, and anyone can, basically, if you buy the cards, let you do it. But there are a lot of Japanese soundtracks that are not released digitally. So, yeah, I guess there's a lot of stuff that's released physically, and it's impossible to get without importing for crazy amounts of money.
But the most surprising thing sound-wise, I'm surprised they didn't dub this.
I mean,
but then again, it is Bandai Namco.
Yeah, I don't know what their track record is with this kind of stuff, but it makes sense.
I feel like lately they haven't been dubbing games.
Oh, okay. I mean, I think it makes sense to me from the perspective of like fan. I think it's the same reason why, I don't know, I assume Try is going to be dubbed eventually. I think it kind of has to be, given the excitement around it. But I think it's the reason why, like, there isn't that much clamoring for a dub, because a lot of the people who grew up with dubs, like, if they're trying to attract the, like, general anime fan, like, a lot of fans grow up and stop watching dubs and stop watching subs. So I think that kind of tempers the there needs to be a dub sentiment a little bit. There are definitely people who aren't anime otaku, whatever, who would prefer a dub. But yeah, I'm not surprised by this not getting a dub, because it's like such a big time, not time, such a big cost saving measure, and for something that's like basically testing the waters. I'm just thankful we got it in the first place.
Testing the waters after testing the waters.
But I mean, I've never played a game that had dialogue in a different language, if there was spoken dialogue.
Yeah, I think this is kind of, it's kind of the first for me, because I tried to play, I had heard really good things about Final Fantasy XIV's Japanese voices, and very, like, not good things about their English voices. So, and there's an option to swap out the dub in Final Fantasy XIV. So I tried playing with Japanese voices, and I found it really odd to, like, I'm used to listening to Japanese voices while reading subtitles, but I found it really odd with a gameplay text, and so I stopped. But now playing this, I find it normal because I did it once before. So, I don't know. I guess it was kind of new to me, but now I'm used to it.
I mean, I don't find it that strange, because I mostly just, like, read the text, and if it's faster than how they spoke it, I, like, don't care. Just click X.
Yeah, I've tried to, like, savor what they're saying and, like, try to, like, parse the Japanese words if I recognize things. It just takes so long, and it's just, like, not the natural cadence, because, like, sometimes I'll be like, oh, wait, at the end of the sentence, is there more coming? Oh, wait. And yeah, so.
Especially Nokia is always, like, very emphatic and, like, goes on forever, but saying the same thing. And I'm like, I don't care, Nokia.
Really? You see Nokia, the one who... I mean, Kyoko rambles all the time.
She rambles, but Nokia is just like, eh? 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 Like, I don't care.
Yeah, I don't particularly like Nokia so far. story, I guess I had characters separate, but yeah, I think story and characters are kind of intertwined. But I think we're not going to spoil anything about the story because we're not that far into it anyway. But also, I don't want to...
The story needs more Digimon.
The story needs to make the Digimon make any sense in it.
Really? I really like the theming, the idea of like how Digimon fit into this universe and how it's like... Digimon are basically programs that coexist a lot, like that they're seen as virus programs. I mean, I think it's really cool. I don't think it's entirely pulled off effectively. And there are lots of holes in the story, but a lot of like, I don't know. My general impression of the game is that it doesn't have much polish. And that's not like saying it's bad or anything. It's just like compared to a lot of other games I play that are very polished, it is unpolished in a lot of ways. And one of those ways is story. And especially localization, it seems. I mean, I can't compare it to Japanese. So maybe the Japanese was a little, like, just as awkward in the same aspects. But it just doesn't, like, the story doesn't feel extremely compelling. And I've heard it gets more compelling. So I'm excited for that.
Hopefully.
But a lot of times I'm like, okay, yeah, I want to get through this. Okay, sure. I think it also ties into the characters because a lot of the characters, I can't really think of, there's one character who I find compelling. And the rest I'm like, yeah, okay, whatever. I
suppose you can't tell us.
Who the character is?
Yeah.
No, I mean, and she's like in the first mission. I mean, the character I'm compelling is Yuko. And
wait, which one's Yuko?
The I don't know how to describe her.
The friend?
No, you meet her in the hospital.
Oh, her.
Yeah.
Yeah,
she's kind of boring.
I mean, she's kind of boring, but like there's more to there's a mystery around her, I guess. So I'm intrigued. Whereas a lot of the other characters are just like, I don't know. So you start off the game with basically talking to two other people. The main character talks to two other people in a chat room and then meets them outside the chat room for the first time. It's still inside the digital realm, whatever. But then, like, immediately after, like, there's... And something goes down in when that happens. And then after that, you just, like, treat those two people who you met for the first time recently as, like these really close friends. And, they're implied to have been in the chat room for a while. But then they just, like... So they go from being in the chat room to meeting with their, like, avatars online in a physical online space. And then after that, they just meet all the time in person as if it's totally normal. Like, oh, yeah, now we're just super... And like, what? When did you... You were not... You just basically just met. Like, what? And they're also, like, these two high school friends that, like, come out of nowhere. And the main character's like, oh... And they're like, yeah, you are... I thought you moved. And you're like, no. And they're like, okay. And it just... It's just kind of odd. And there's a lot of dialogue. The dialogue to enjoyment dialogue rate ratio is not very high. I've started to see I started to see hints at really compelling aspects of the story that I'm excited for.
And speaking of story, the cutscenes are weird.
In what way?
Because you have, like, the actual scene, but then you have, like, in the foreground, you would see the characters that are talking.
Mm.
So the background, which is, like, the game screen, would freeze. And then this other stuff will happen in front of it. And I can understand that working on the Vita, but it's on the PS3, it's like really weird.
I guess I find it kind of normal.
I mean, PS4.
Yeah.
Wrong system.
I guess I didn't find that too bizarre. There are definitely, if you play on PS4, there are definitely aspects where it feels like, oh, why can't, oh, right, because it's a Vita game. You know, like moving the camera. It's like, it feels really awkward that you're not able to like really adjust the camera aside from zooming in or out on PS4.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh, right, because this is a Vita and it's meant to be a really tiny viewport and that makes sense. You really wouldn't, I mean, there are plenty of Vita games where you can move the camera, but it's more acceptable to not be able to move it there. Yeah. I don't know. It's like what I'd heard about the story was that it was like extremely good, and my impression so far is not that.
Well, it's definitely better than the DS games that I've played.
People have a weird definition of extremely good.
but I think it's also, I think maybe I'm just saying it's expectations too high, but I think there's more to the story later on that might make it more worthy of that bar.
Well, it is definitely more complicated than the DS games because the DS games were basically good versus evil. Normal Digimon stuff.
Yeah, but I remember the DS, Digimon World DS was just like, you're a tamer, don't you want to be the best tamer? Let's do that. Oh, and there are these bad guys too.
In Dusk and Dawn, there were rival groups going at each other, and
so it's Pokemon
eventually
games.
It gets really complicated, but not complicated like Cyber Sleuth is seeming to get.
Yeah, I mean, I definitely like the story. I think the way that Digimon, there's a lot of technical mumbo jumbo, but like there's like aspects of magic in this game and stuff that's just like, oh, magic, digitalness, I don't know, digital waves, like it's very hand waved, which kind of frustrates me. But aside from that, like I think the setting of Digimon exists, like it's much more in the real world than any other Digimon thing. If that makes sense. Like even Adventure Zero Tier, they're mostly in the real world, but there's no, they do allude to there being a digital world like we're used to in this game. But for the most part, Digimon exists as programs within our constructed online spaces. So it's much more about like Digimon in what we consider the real world, which I find interesting.
What I want to know is, do people literally go into the internet all the time?
Oh, wait, no, okay. So one of my biggest complaints about the story is just how it's very vague about some details. I think it takes a lot of shortcuts from, it uses a lot of the same visual language as Summer Wars and Our War Game. And I think it kind of uses that as a shortcut to explain what's actually going on.
No, because it's definitely implying that people go into the internet physically.
Not, like, they refer to it as virtual reality in the beginning.
Well, virtual reality right now is wearing a headset.
Right, so that's why, like, I assume that, because, I mean, the main character has the ability to, like, is a digital body that can manifest in the real world. I think that's a unique thing where he can actually go into the Eden, to the digital space.
No, the thing about him, he can go to Eden through anything.
Hmm. So you think that, like, most people are able...
Wow, you're gendering the main character. I'm playing as a lady.
Oh, well, sorry, I've been playing as a guy. But as long as you go to a Terminal 4 Eden, you can. It seems to imply that you can go into the game, into the Eden.
Oh, so yeah, that makes sense. Like, I was like, what do the terminals do if for normal people?
Because there's definitely a time when you chase someone you're going after into Eden.
I remember like chasing someone in, or if someone following you or something. I was like, this doesn't make sense. Yeah. Yeah, it's, yeah, I guess that makes, but like it also physically just doesn't, they don't explain the fact that you can like convert someone's body, so.
It's just really weird.
Yeah, compared to like Summer Wars, which is very specific about like, they have these digital avatars, but everyone's really, you know, controlling them on like DSs and cell phones and stuff. Like.
Well, that's also the same with the Phantasy Star anime.
Hmm, I don't know anything about that.
It's okay, you're not missing much.
But yeah, I mean, it has like that. That's an aspect of like what I consider the lack of polish to the story. It's like big holes like that where you're just like, this doesn't exactly make sense. And I feel like you're not explaining it because you know it doesn't make sense. You don't want to poke holes in your own logic.
Just don't think about right. It. It's like, and you'll be fine.
Saying don't think about it. I'm like, that's sad that you have to hide that, but like, don't think about it. Actually, I don't think we've heard your impressions of the story and characters.
I mean, I mostly feel like the story is very disjointed and is just like, I don't know, we need to shove some Digimon into it. So like the main characters get vaguely tricked into becoming hackers in the beginning. And it's just like, what? I don't.
Yeah, there's like barely any Digimon for a while.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Unlike the other story games where there's literally Digimon everywhere and you can talk to them.
Mm-hmm.
And then I have difficulty, like the main story is that you're trying to get your own body back, right?
You're basically playing Dot Hack.
And it is one of the lingering threads that it set up early on.
I just don't even know, like, what I'm...
I think there's definitely... There's no driving... Like, the structure of the story is, like, you become an assistant at a detective agency, and then it's, like, you know, you investigate things. And I think still where I am is kind of just, like, you wait for stuff to roll in, and then you investigate it. There's no, like... There's very little... It's not like an RPG story where, like, you're going from town to town, like, you're on this quest, and you feel a very strong sense of progression. It doesn't really have that sense of progression. It's just, like, things are happening. And I think as you get towards the end, there's going to be more... Maybe not progression, like, physically, but more of a, like, serialized story, I guess. But that's my guess. But yeah, I mean, it's definitely starting off where you're just, like... There are some lingering mysteries. There are a bunch of lingering mysteries. I started taking notes of, like, all the lingering mysteries, and they're just kind of up in the air until later.
I guess the problem is that there's no sense of real urgency from anybody.
Yeah. Yeah, because I think it's also like a hangout kind of experience.
Excuse me while I go fix the air conditioner.
Oh, the air conditioner.
Oh, gosh. Ugh. Ugh.
Okay, so I think we should wrap it up with our final impressions of our first impressions. And any other final points? What's your like lasting impression so far?
overall, I love the game, but I just can't help feeling disappointed. Like, there should be more.
I mean, there is more.
No, I mean, like all the aspects. I feel like there should be more. Because we've got, like there's only 240 Digimon, which is, like, less than even Digimon World / Story 3 DS. There's, like, 60 less. It's just, like, why couldn't you fit in all these Digimon?
Yeah, I mean, I know I sympathize with that stance about the lack of Digimon, but I'm also just like, from my perspective, having not played those games, it just feels like there are like countlessly many of them.
No, but like staples like Airdramon are not even in this game.
Yeah, but I mean, Digimon is a world that has like so many staples. Like, I think some staples are going to have to be left out, and I still feel a sense like.
No, but is there a reason why we have like 6 Numemon variations?
I don't know. I mean, I still get the sense from playing it and seeing the Digimon, like, there's always a sense of, like, oh, wait, that Digimon is cool, you know, like, and I think that's the most important aspect for me is, like, not going and being like, okay, yeah, it's just these basic Digimon that I expected, and maybe my expectations are just lower, and that's why I'm surprised by a lot of Digimon being in it.
Okay, but anyway, overall, I feel like they took a lot of steps forward and then just as much steps back.
Yeah.
But I still love the game.
Yeah, I find that hard in framing my critique, because I'm like, I still really like it. I have plenty of complaints. I think that's the theme of my impression, is that, like, I really like it. I have a lot of complaints because it's not feels like it's lacking a lot of polish, but that it's also not the kind of game where that polish is the deciding factor, like it is for a lot of more mainstream games. Like, the fact that it is Digimon is, like, kind of, like, you have a game that's, like, not very polished and, like, a pretty good game, add Digimon to it, and, like, that game becomes so much more meaningful to people who already have an existing emotional attachment to Digimon the franchise.
Right.
Yeah, so I have lots of complaints, but I still think it's really good and totally worth playing. And I mean, I'll have more thoughts once I actually finish the story and I'm like, can evaluate the story and the game as a whole. But yeah. Ashley, what are your final impressions so far?
I mean, I'm like, this is fun, but I don't get addicted to it like I did with Final Fantasy Tactics or 12 or something, where I'm like, I need to play more. I need to play for like 8 hours straight. I don't know. And it feels, because I normally like to play platformers, like it feels like I could have been, you know, like halfway or a third through a Ratchet and Clank game or something right now, and I would have had a lot more fun.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely a really long game to that. Any final thoughts?
We should say what our current teams are.
My team is very fluid. Like, I'm not investing very strongly in, like, 3 Suzuki Digimon or 11 or whatever. Like, I'm just like, you know, let me just Digivolve everyone to what seems cool, and then...
No, just mention what Digimon you have.
But it's so fluid. I mean, I guess... I found that the Black Agumon and Black Goblimon that you get from the DLC, their champion, I believe, like Black Gurumon and Greymon, are really good. I like them.
Yeah, but the only problem with them putting them as DLC is they're kind of in the game. I mean, like, you don't need an extra Black Agumon and Black Goblimon because you can get their Digivolutions and stuff.
You mean like the black versions or the normal ones?
The black versions.
Aren't, I think the Digivolutions are DLC unlocks too.
Well, they're DLC unlocks, but they give you an extra for each one.
I think it made sense because it's like you use the black Agumon you get to go through that line. But yeah, I mean, I can't remember what else I even have. My strategy is to like go through all the Digivolutions, just Digivolve whenever possible, and then not whenever, like once they get to the max level, and then once I've done that, take stock of like who the strongest ones are for each type and then move them to my party. So keep moving things in and out.
The Digimon that are currently on my team are Canon Beamon, is that right?
I don't even know what that is.
It's before Tiger Vespamon.
So you're going for a specific target in mind?
Yeah, I go for targets in mind. So right now I have Grappleomon, XVmon, Canon Beamon, Lilymon, who was my starter, Wormmon, so I can DNA devolve the two, and then Waymon, which actually is good because he, every turn he will increase the SP for your Digimon. So you get SP back every turn.
That's pretty cool. I haven't been able to find a Wormmon because I have like a XVmon that I want to DNA Digivolve with, but I don't have.
But yeah, you have to have both at 100% camaraderie.
Yeah. Ashley, who's your team?
I have a Wormmon.
No, is that like you have like 20 Wormmon?
I have a Wormmon.
so who's your party?
Currently, Gilmon, obviously.
Of course.
Black Garurumon. Also, obviously. And then Garurumon, and I think I have Daruman in there. That's all I think I, like, before I went to sleep last night, I think I got some more memory so I could put another one in there, but.
Yeah, I think I have about 60 memory right now.
Hmm.
I only have, like, 30, so.
Yep, I have exactly 60 right now.
I'm definitely in a place where, like, I am very excited to play more. Like, but I'm also in a place where I am pressuring myself because I want to finish as fast as possible so I can write a proper full review. So there's that too, meddled into my excitement to play more. But yeah. And now we're going to close off the episode with a quote from Jaden Smith from his interview, along with Willow Smith from New York Times. And Jaden said, "It's proven that how time moves for you depends on where you are in the universe. It's relative to beings and other places. But on the level of being here on Earth, if you are aware in a moment, 1 second can last a year." And on that note, let us know what you thought of this episode in our comments at podedges.com/011. Or check out podedges.com/011 to get detailed notes for all the characters, links, and media we referenced.
Podedges is made possible with the support from our awesome Patreon, including Amanda Anjouman, Andre LeDucman, David Graumann, Eric Angemon, Joe Keto, Jock, Santa Agumon, Kai Lunamon, Sam Kriwagamon, and Stephen Patamon.
If you want to become a Patrimon and support the show, you can join Patrimon Party, our private Slack chat group, for $1 a month. You can get monthly stickers for $5 a month, and you can get early episodes for $10 a month. We also have a lot more rewards and goals, so check out patreon.com/poddigis.
You can find us on Twitter, Tumblr, or Facebook to keep up with the Digimons and get funny images and GIFs related to the show. You can find me on Twitter at JeffonlyJeff. You can find Ashley.
AshleyD00 on Twitter.
And Andrew.
PhantomCellistF at Tumblr.com.
You can also find links to all of our social media accounts at Podigis.com.
Our Calumon artwork is by the awesome Mary Cagle. She's Cube Watermelon on Tumblr and Twitter. And you should also check out her webcomics, Let's Speak English, Sleep with Snowmane, and Kiwi Blitz.
Share the podcast with your friends or coworkers who ask you, "Hey, did you hear that there's a new Digimon game?" Even though obviously you have, because you host a podcast about the series and everyone has been really excited about it for the past year.
Next time on Podigis, I don't only have this scripted, but we have a lot of episodes in the pipeline. I don't even know what's going to come out next. Other things we have coming up are the feedback episode for The Last Tamers. So that'll be episode 304.5. And the next Tamers episode 305. Coming out soon. Stay tuned. Bye.
Bye.
And remember, never stop digivolving. Do 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 do. The aspect that I really like, my voice. The aspect of it that, what's wrong with my voice?
Is it a Digimon?
Yeah, it's a digital. My voice is digital. And
even though obviously you have, because you host a podcast about the series, and everyone has been really excited about it for the past year.
I like how I wrote both of these, like, about my own experiences, and then I wasn't the one to read either of them.
No, people at work have more asked me. They're like, "Ashley, like, Digimon is old. Like, what is your podcast about? It's not currently coming out." I'm like, first of all, we do cover the old episodes.
Yeah,
second
I'm so confused.
It actually is currently coming out.
I'm so confused. Like, why the fact, like, it's not a new thing. It's not, like, a weird thing for us to be covering old stuff. Like,
yeah, it confuses me because they talk about, like, Gilmore Guys all the time. I'm like, it's the same thing. Like,
except Gilmore Guys is getting... I mean, Gilmore Girls is getting a new season.
But that started after.
Sure, but like that's
it's the same thing for us. Like, Digimon. We started it and then found out about Try halfway through.
Yeah.
When you're out on the road feeling Digimon and Digimon, all you gotta do is digivolve to champion. Digi
Never
best
again.
Friends.
Yeah.
I think I know what happened to the other Digimon in this game.
Other Digimon?
All the missing 60 Digimon or so.
Okay.
They all went into Grappleomon's animation.
I haven't seen... I didn't even know this Grappleomon thing was a thing.
No, but basically...
Does it look really cool?
It's basically a metal Leomon, as in, like, it has... It's a Leomon, but it has armor.
Mm-hmm, looks cool.
But it's mechanical armor and... those things on its wrists and ankles are spinning constantly. And that's probably what happened to all the Digimon.
Okay, so now let's sing along Digimon version. Feeling Digimon and Digimon. All you got to do is digivolve to champion.
What the hell is this?
No one else
is
singing along.
I don't know this song.
Wait, you don't recognize? You don't recognize it? It's the Gilmore Girls song.
It sounds very similar to another song, but it's not that song.
Actually, it was weird. It was like the video I was watching was like a future season, and I'm like, ugh, Suki looks weird.
Spoilers.
La 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 la. Like 10 minutes of la-las in that video. Okay, enough Gilmore Girls.
If there's anything I'm glad we're not doing, I'm glad we're not doing Full House.
I don't even know the Full House song.
Because that's also getting a new season.
Oh, this is totally... So there's one shot of, I don't know, one dude walking up a hill with groceries and stuff. And like, you don't, and he like looks all smiling. He's not sweating at all.
You don't do that.
Right. If you're walking up the hill with groceries, you'd be like covered in sweat and like, what the, unrealistic.
What are you talking about?
Like, I'm watching the Full House opening and he's like walking up.
Why are you watching the Full House opening?
Because I was like, I wonder. Bob Saget, you would be sweating if you walked up a hill with groceries. Of course, someone gets on a trolley. Or a cable car.
Oh, yeah, and speaking of more nostalgia, Powerpuff Girls is coming back.
Oh, really?
Yeah, they didn't bring anyone back.
Oh.
So it sounds weird. So basically, 2016 is nostalgia.